volcano.
Yes!
Rumors and rumbling.
That's awesome!
Let the filibustering begin.
We got one more Oscar episode for you before the actual Oscars, and we do our Oscars post-game show every single year for a decade now. Comes out right after the Oscars. So wake up that next morning, throw it on, and discuss the Oscars with us. But this will be our last discussion of the nominees and all of that before we move on to our list episode and round out this year of 2023. So welcome back. I'm Kent, joined by Richard, Brian. Boys, how we doing tonight? Sorry, listener, by the way, this episode's a little late this week because we're dealing with some flu. Brian,
got the
forever
flu,
the
man.
Sickest, Brian. How are
it's you? Brutal. It's brutal. I never get the flu. I never get my flu shot because why would I do that if I never get the flu? And I think maybe this year has changed my mind on that.
This sucks.
I'm not a fan. Not a big fan of the flu. Personally,
it's not great.
I don't mean to be controversial, but not great. So thanks for bearing with me. We're recording a couple days late and appreciate you boys being flexible on it. And I'll try my hardest not to hack up a lung on the air like I did in the fall. That's my effort for tonight. That's what I'm trying to give you guys.
Well, as you guys know, I call you as soon as the sun breaks over the horizon. They announce the awards.
Right.
So I call you at, I think it was 3:44 a.m. this year.
Right, yeah. Right, yeah.
When they had to get this out there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of headlines. I can hear the Greta gang rioting already.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, this might get bad by the time the actual ceremony gets here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Greta gang is livid. We'll discuss that. But what we're going to do here, go over the nominees. We're each going to say who we think's going to win, and then who we want to win.
We got it.
Very simple.
All right.
So let's go through this. Let's start with cinematography. The nominees are El Conde. Haven't seen that.
Not
Killers
sure
of the Flower Moon. Maestro. Oppenheimer. And Poor Things. Brian, any snubs here, and who do you want to win?
I'm sure there are some snubs.
No idea.
Idea. I don't know what El Conde is. I know that probably shows me to be a fake film snob.
It's Spanish for the Conde.
Okay, cool. Thanks. That helps. Does feel like a weak year for cinematography. This is not a great. I didn't feel like there's a lot of great cinematography in this list. So for me, this is Oppenheimer in a pretty big way.
Richard.
I think Oppenheimer will win. I think the second half of Maestro should win. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, the first half of Maestro exists.
Okay.
Where that's true. They black and white it for no good reason at all and kill a lot. I mean, it's still cinematic, but like second half of Maestro really pops. There's some great shots in that movie. Uh-huh. And I think if the whole movie was that, it could have a real case. But Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
I don't remember what my grade for Maestro is, but I feel like it's going to be a D minus by the end of Oscar season. Like,
yeah.
I'm so over this movie already. Like, yeah. Anyway, sorry.
It took you 6 years to come up with that.
Too. Yeah.
The Discord I have seen is not a fan of Maestro, and it's pretty fun to witness that. But I agree, Richard. I think the kind of Paul Thomas Anderson-y looking stuff in Maestro was great. Maybe if they did more of that.
Totally. It really pops like that.
Yeah.
I think of that scene like in his garden or something, you know, where he's talking to the journalist. You're like, this is shot awesome. This should be the movie. Sure. Why is there not 2 hours of this?
And I think who's going to win is probably Oppenheimer, but I would probably say Poor Things has a chance, just given Yorgos's unusual style. And, you know, sometimes the Academy appreciates that. And Killers probably has a chance, too. So watch El Conde win.
Cool. I hope it does. I hope it's
awesome.
Right.
Maestro. Right.
Yeah. Sight unseen.
Best original song. It Never Went Away from American Symphony. I'm Just Ken from Barbie. What Was I Made For from Barbie. It's not a joke. The Fire Inside
God.
From Flamin' Hot from Diane Warren. Not a joke.
We should write a movie about sour cream and onion.
The
doesn't matter if it's fictional or not.
You can just we'll just make up that underrepresented Russians came up with sour cream and onion. There's a janitor.
Original track "This" from OK Go from the Beanie Bubble. And no, I made that one up. That's Wahazi, a song from My People,
okay,
from Killers of the Flower Moon. It's got to be between the two Barbie ones, you know, never count out Flamin' Hot. That's what I always say.
Never count out Diane Warren.
Yeah. Which one of those two you think it'll be?
I'm just Ken won at the Globes, right? Or the Critics' Choice. I can't remember. I think it was the Globes.
Critics' Choice. Or yeah, I think maybe both, actually.
It's Critics' Choice. I think Billy won the Globe, right?
Okay. Whichever one it was that it won, it was clearly not well-received in the room. Even Gosling was like, nah, it should have been the other one. I'm going to lean towards the Billy version. I think I'm Just Ken works so well within that movie. I rewatched that movie today just for funsies. And
like every Thursday?
Yeah, it's a Thursday. And so that's my tradition. And I hope you guys will respect it. But I think that works so well within the movie, but the Billy song is like actually like a really great, like sweet, sobering, somber kind of song. And I think it's used well within the movie. I do feel like that, I've said this before, I feel like that should be a requirement. I think if for a song to be nominated, it actually has to be something that happens in the movie, not just like over the end credits or whatever. That kind of drives me crazy. But anyway, I'll take Billy here for the win.
Awesome. Yeah, I agree. I think Billy is going to win. Did she not win for the Bond one, or did she?
Yeah, she did, I believe. And that's what was going to be my next point. The easiest Oscar to win is your second Oscar. A weird hot take I have. Because then they start looking at your stuff through the lens of Oscar stuff. More nomination than winning, but yeah, I feel like she'll win. Now you're in the club.
Yeah, I think so too. That's a great song. All right, here we go. Original score. Killers, Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, John Williams, Never Fails, his 99th Academy Award nomination. And
one for every year of his life.
Yeah. American Fiction. If it's not Oppenheimer here, I'll be very surprised. Yeah. But I want John Williams to win, because isn't this his last score?
No.
He said he might be doing
something else.
Yeah,
but
he said he's willing to do stuff if it happens. Yeah. If he sees a good movie that he wants.
He basically you upped every good director.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm going with Oppenheimer for the win, but Robbie Robertson, Killers of the Flower Moon. Give it to me.
Nice.
That was a cool score. Go for it, Richard. Cool, what do you think?
I'm going Oppenheimer and Oppenheimer for me. I think Ludwig's score was awesome on that. But I like that Robbie Robertson choice of yours for sure. But yeah, narrowly, I think Ludwig will win for Oppenheimer, and I think he should win, but narrow. Brian?
Taking Oppenheimer, probably. I mean, just as a sentimental vote, I always like to see John Williams win. I think that Killers.
Did you use sentimental ironically there?
No.
Did he tell you to feel sentimental there?
One of my criticisms of Killers of the Flower Moon was that I didn't think it had enough score. So I don't really even like this nomination, if I'm being honest. I feel like it needed more. If we're gonna do let's have some score in this thing. I thought it could use some more. I'm sure it's fine.
It was weird that he just kept using Sympathy for the Devil right, instead of the score in every scene.
Over and over again. It's just a lot of money too, you know? It's where 25 of that $250 million went.
Yeah.
Right?
Visual effects. This is a good one. The Creator got a nomination. Mm. Godzilla Minus One nominated. Guardians 3. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, which I've seen it advertised recently as Dead Reckoning. So yes, are they shifting
Yeah, I think they're pivoting.
We shall see.
It's going to Paramount as Dead Reckoning, so I think the new one will have a new title.
Yeah, we'll have to get to that in a separate news, rumors, rumblings episode because there's a lot going on there.
Did you guys read that tweet I sent you about Tom Cruise changing the score on Rogue Nation and it totally changing the scores of, no pun intended, of the film in testing?
I saw it in the, somebody put it in the Discord and I saw it. I was like, that's crazy. That's freaking genius.
We can all make fun of him as an actor, rightfully in some scenarios, especially in Dead Reckoning in some parts, but he's the best film producer maybe of all time. Like legitimately, he's the best producer ever.
Man. He's up there.
I'd love if he directed. I just want one cruise. Like I'm shooting this.
Wonder why he hasn't. Yeah,
I know, right?
Probably because there's more money in just producing.
It would just be cool if he just made his like. If he was like, I'm winning an Oscar as a director.
That would be cool.
Just put it out there, Tom Cruise. We'll all really like you if you do that.
We shall see, but we'll talk about that on another episode because there's a lot going on with Paramount and Tom Cruise, all that kind of stuff. It's a lot of shakeup in the biz right now. Exciting times as we head into 2024. I didn't finish. Napoleon also nominated for visual effects, which we just reviewed on the VIP feed last week. If you would like our review of that. We all like the visual effects too, so cool to see it nominated for that. Ron Howard's oversight on the Beanie Bubble actually nominated as well for the work they did on Zach Galifianakis.
Yep, he was great. They got rid of that beard in post.
So I'm going with who I want to win is Godzilla Minus One, who I think is going to win. This is a tough one because I can't believe Oppenheimer is not nominated here.
I know.
Shoot. Mission Impossible, maybe? Let's go there. Let's go Mission Impossible for the win, but I want Godzilla to win.
What about you, Brian?
I feel like this is like a wide open category. Yeah, I'll take Godzilla for the win. And that's like I loved that movie. That's going to be top 10 of the year for me for sure. I don't know. I honestly, the creator, I almost wish that it was nominated in production design as much as anything. But since it's not, I guess I could kind of lump that all in. I love the world creation in that movie. So I think that's what I would be rooting for. But I'll take Godzilla.
Any chance?
I'm going to say this, Kent. I want Godzilla to win, but I think Mission Impossible will win.
Sure. Yeah. Any chance Napoleon wins? It is ILM. So we shall. ILM always.
Guardians has a chance too. Yeah. It's Disney. It does look great. And
it's the only comic movie that looked good all year.
Right. The Academy can be like, hey, this is how we're honoring the Marvel movie. That's sure. I can see that.
I just feel like they're going to just keep giving Tom Cruise movies any Oscar they can for saving the business for a couple years.
That's very true.
That's my thinking.
True. I agree. All right. Screenplay, original. We have Past Lives, May December, Maestro, The Holdovers, and Anatomy of a Fall. Who I think's going to win? Past Lives? Who I want to win? The Holdovers. Brian?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with you on that. I think that's probably the right
call. We're all aligned. Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Okay, perfect. Adapted. Let's move on to here. American Fiction, Barbie. Adapted from a toy brand.
So stupid.
So dumb. By the way, I was watching The Simpsons the other day. Hadn't seen the episode in a while. Can't believe I didn't make this connection. The Lisa versus Malibu Stacy episode. Go back and watch that. A lot of similarities. Maybe it's adapted from that. Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest. It's got to be Barbie or Oppenheimer. Competing head-to-head, probably. So that means the winner is going to be Poor Things, but I want Barbie. What about you, Brian?
I'm rooting for Barbie. I also think that this is where they do the, oh, so sorry, we didn't nominate you for all these other things and give the award. So I'll take the odds on Barbie there as the win.
And forgot to mention Kristen Gore adapting The Great Beanie Baby Bubble, Mass Delusion, and The Dark Side of Cute by Zach Bissonette. Uh-huh. It's
a great book too. Yeah.
Included.
Right. What about you, Richard?
I'm going to go, who I want to win is American Fiction.
Hope I'm going to see that tomorrow.
And what I think will win is Oppenheimer.
It's a good category.
Bet. Category. American Fiction's so good, Brian. I can't wait for you to see it.
Nice.
Animated feature. The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona. Moana spelled backwards? No. Robot.
Rock, isn't it?
Yeah. Robot Dreams. Don't know what that is. And Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Huge snub for Ninja Turtles. What's going on,
yeah,
folks? We had to get that Robot Dreams.
Huge snub for Chicken Run.
Chicken Run, Dawn of the Nugget too. Oh, that was one of my favorites.
Same. You will hear about that in my top 10 later this year.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe me too. So I'm going with Elemental, maybe for the win here. Maybe I haven't seen Boy and the Heron yet, though. But I want Spider-Man. So I'll go Elemental with Spider-Man.
I want Spider-Man. I think Spider-Man will win.
Same here.
Yeah. If anything upsets Spider-Man, though, it'll be the Miyazaki film. The Boy and the Heron.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to Best Director now. As we move into the big categories for this year's ceremony, big snub, of course, Greta. Not getting
that's a bigger snub to me than Margot.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that for a sec? Like, not trying to be, I mean, I would have been totally cool if Margot was nominated. I'm not a hater, but like Greta, there's a lot of great performances in that. It's shot fun. I don't know. I don't think the competition was a stiff either. And I'm cool if Jonathan Glazer isn't nominated and stuff. I don't know. What'd you guys think?
I'm kind of the opposite route. It's to me, Greta would have been in my, I mean, no doubt would have been in this list for me if I'm turning my ballot. But I think that I think you can make a case for 10 or more directors there. And that's kind of setting aside that,
but you haven't seen Zona. You're not a NIAID guy, though. You haven't rocked.
No, NIAID. So that's my deal. Is like, when we get to the actress, like,
right, I know.
That, I mean, that nomination is the kind of nomination that you get in years where there's just not five performances that really stand out, you know. And that's, I don't mean that really even as a knock on Annette Bening or whatever else, but like, there have definitely been years where Best Actress, due to the way that Hollywood works, where the best actress field is like, boy, can we get five decent, good performances in good movies? I guess this, it's like almost by default. Hey, there's the nomination for a movie no one saw, and it is what it is. I don't understand the thought process of keeping Margot Robbie out of that. Out of that conversation, out of that top five. The only thing with Greta, like I said, is just, I think there's just a lot, there were several really good movies this year, so you can make a case for blah, blah. I'm with you, Richard. I think that the work, I think that Greta's work as a director is probably better than Margot's performance as an actress in that situation. I just think that the field dictates things a little bit here and there, but all that said, saw Anatomy of a Fall this week and I thought it sucked. So, not a huge fan of that. No one has seen Zone of Interest because they made it impossible for anybody to see it.
I've seen it.
Oh, you have? Nice. Okay.
Because I'm an Amos guy.
Okay. It's good.
So I was excited for that one. And it's a delight. You're going to love it.
No, I'm sure.
Such it's a fun blast. Experience.
It's a blast. I should say, I didn't think Anatomy of a Fall sucked. I thought it was like fine. And I was kind of like, really? This is the thing that we're okay. All right.
But they Scorsese, haven't done it. Just like,
Yeah. In Scorsese 2, it's like, I don't have... This is what I said in the Discord was, if you think that Killers of the Flower Moon is the best movie of the year, that's totally fine. I've come up on it a little bit since we did our review, to the point that I had it in my on my ballot for like my fake ballot for best picture. I think my problem with that is that it felt like that was a lock for nomination in all of these categories in like July, and that I don't know. I find that. Yeah. I don't like that. That feels a little problematic to me where it's like, well, Scorsese's putting out a movie, so that means there are four director slots available, you know? And you could, same for when Spielberg puts out a movie or I don't know, Fincher or whatever. That's that class of director. It's like if they have a movie out, then it has to be a bad movie in order for them to not get secure a nomination online. And that's the thing that I don't like. I would like for it to feel like an open slot. You know, there's right. five slots and we're all yeah. competing for those spots. Not you gotta hope that Scorsese makes a bad movie in order for a slot to open up there. I don't like that. Yeah. I don't like that vibe.
There's, you know, this year there was three you had to nominate. You had to mm-hmm. nominate Scorsese. You had to mm-hmm. nominate Chris Nolan for Oppenheimer, and you had to nominate Damian Kulas Jr. for the Beanie Bubble. Mm-hmm, and then outside right. of that.
And you knew that coming in, you know, you knew that.
Yeah, outside of that, it's wide open.
Right.
And I'm with you on Anatomy of a Fall. It feels like ever since Parasite, it's just, if you win the Palme d'Or, you're going to get nominated for Best Picture, regardless yeah. of mass appeal, critical acclaim, all of the above. Some of the most, I don't know, off-putting, weird, genuinely don't want to watch them again type of movies of the past 3 years, with Titane, Triangle of Sadness, and mm-hmm. and this one. So yeah, it just, not they're not bad, but like it feels like it's something that the Academy has really focused sure. on, is including
yeah.
those types of movies. And yeah. it reeks of, I don't know, pandering to the film bros of the world mm. instead of yeah. like, who are we trying to please here? I guess is my question.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, if I'm being totally fair, like I thought the direction on Poor Things was kind of bad too. So Poor Things was one of the funniest movies I've seen this year. And also it felt like the third act was a complete disaster, and that it felt like a movie where despite some great performances and some really funny dialogue, especially, it felt like a director couldn't quite get out of his own way. So I'm not a big Yorgos guy, so maybe I'm coming in, you know, biased on that, but wouldn't have been on my short list to begin with. So it's a, I don't know. There's a lot of really good movies this year, so it's never going to be perfect, but this, I found the director thing this year to be a little bit confounding overall.
Yeah. I mean, the Greta thing, I'm sure there'll be plenty of talk about yeah, that.
Alexander Payne, too, though. Going into Celine Song, Alexander Payne. I mean, yeah, it's a weird, anyway, I'm Oppenheimer. I think Oppenheimer wins, and that's what I'm rooting for by, you know, pretty easily this year.
I mean, honestly,
it'll be tough, but.
Honestly, I said it in the episode, but would rather have seen Bradley Cooper nominated here than for Best Actor.
Same.
But same. It is what it is. And we'll continue to talk about that. So let's get to supporting actress. Divine Joy Randolph, The Holdovers, Jodie Foster, Naiad. We'll talk about her a little bit more later when we talk some True Detective at the end of the episode. So stay tuned for that. But guess I got to see Naiad, because it has Jodie Foster, but there's no way to know what it is. I've been Googling, looking, can't figure it out. And if there only was a way to know, please email me and I'll figure it out. Double nomination here for this movie. Both Sarah Snook and Elizabeth Banks for the Beanie Bubble get nominations. So I'm going with Shiv. America Ferrera, Barbie. Emily Blunt, Oppenheimer, and Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple. So I think, Divine Joy Randolph's going to win.
Yeah.
And I want her to win because I think she had the best performance of this group.
Universally around, I think. Yeah. Yep. Easy.
Yeah.
That should be an easy one. That's like that's an awesome one. It's a really, I'm excited for her to win.
Yeah. I'm bummed the Viola Davis wasn't here too for Air. Thought she was so good in that.
Kind yeah.
of
true.
Heart of that movie.
That's a release date.
Yeah. For sure. Right? For
that
sure.
came out six months later. That's.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can't, you know, can't fight that. The Naiad Nation is just, you know what I mean? So much momentum. Just so much momentum.
Perfect timing. Right? Yeah. Caught can't, on to that wave.
You can't go to the water cooler without somebody trying to talk to you about Naiad.
I've been at this new office up in Plano, and it's just Naiad. And like some guy will come up to me and he's like, hey, don't let me hit you in the Naiads. And then it's like a whole, we laugh.
Naiad Nation, what up? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, man, cool. Yeah. Look, I love Jodie Foster. I thought she was more deserving than Annette Bening, for sure. So, as well, the one person who saw
probably
that,
always is.
And we pronounce it, Nyad. In Borat voice.
Very competitive category coming up here. Best Supporting Actor.
Always
is, but this year, I mean, good grief. It is ridiculous. So Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. Turns out he was the poor thing the entire time.
They were just kids.
Ruffalo for Poor Things. Gosling for Barbie. Downey for Op. De Niro gets a nom for Killers of the Flower Moon. And Sterling K. Brown, American Fiction. Very competitive. Who do I think's going to win? Robert Downey Jr. Who do I want to win? The Goss.
Nice.
Brian?
Yeah, I'm rooting for the Goss. Ruffalo would be my second choice there, despite how great Downey is in Oppenheimer. I think Downey wins, but Goss would be my pick. It'd just be fun to see the Academy Award. A, Gosling's a great actor, but B, hey, a comedy can win an Oscar. That'd be cool. I'd like to see that, but not too bad. So,
I Barbie? Think
no Glenn Howerton though. Sorry, Richard. Sorry,
another. Nah, it's all good,
man. True. Blackberry, big shout out.
I know, man. I wanted him to win. I wanted him to be nominated, but would have been cool. But I'm gonna go RDJ for an actor in a supporting role, and I'm gonna go. This is a new one. I would have said that's who I think will win. I wanted to win was someone else, but I'm gonna say. Recent things have changed. I wish Sterling K. Brown would win for American Fiction.
Nice. Very good.
Awesome.
I'm excited for you guys to see that one.
Yeah, hopefully I get it in before next week's final episode. By the way, I need to tease the end of the winter movie draft too, so stay tuned to an upcoming episode to see who won the winter movie draft. All right, big three categories here. Best Actress. Annette Bening for Nyad.
Nyad.
Lily for Killers. Sandra Hüller, Anatomy of a Fall. Carrie Mulligan, Maestro. Emma Stone, Poor Things. And Margot Robbie for Barb. No, that's where my mind automatically went there. She's not nominated, sadly. I think... Lily Gladstone has this thing pretty much wrapped up.
Lock. Yeah.
But watch out for Emma Stone. Poor Things. Brian?
Yeah, I think Lily wins. That's who I would pick as well. Emma's the only other one of the five that I feel like has a real case. Again, not Anatomy of a Fall fan. I actually did like Karen Mulligan in Maestro quite a bit, but not enough to feel like she was better than these. And Annette Bening was fine. I mean, I don't know. I just don't understand. I understand how that nomination happens when you've got Margot Robbie. Also, when you got Greta Lee with Past Lives, I thought she was fantastic in that movie.
I mean, gotta hand it to Netflix. because their movies got nominated so like weird, crazy. Yeah. So they must have done something right on that standpoint.
And what's funny though is how do they end up with these nominations for NIAID and none for May December, which was such a better movie.
Yeah.
Acting wise and content. I mean, just all of it was better.
She's so a mother odd. To all of us is the problem.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and it's odd that May December got a freaking like a script nomination, but not, I don't know. It's just odd. I don't really get it. Even, I mean, I didn't love Priscilla, but even Kaylee Spaney, I think she was deserving of a spot here, much more so than some of these other. This was a weird one.
Same. I'm going to go Lily Gladstone will win. I think I would go Lily Gladstone would be my pick too. Carey Mulligan was great. I don't know if you guys, did you know Bradley Cooper's in Maestro?
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, I thought it was just about Carey Mulligan the whole time. Mm-hmm. But apparently there's another whole part, but I must have just kind of tuned that out. But
yeah.
Because he was, you know, I think he was just so understated, you know?
Right. Just the chameleon kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He just blends in the wallpaper. So you're just focused on her. It's just, she's the maestro, you know?
Somebody went off on it,
but she was the maestro of his life.
Got it. All right.
Yeah.
That's not on
Wait,
the nose.
What? Changed my grade now.
I love how angry this makes Richard. It's just short circuiting him for a month, and I love it.
This is his new it. The post because he was looking so forward.
Same
to
writer. I'm just at war with Josh Singer. Josh Singer and I are at war.
Yeah. Best actor. Bradley Cooper, as mentioned. Colman Domingo, Rustin. Zach Galifianakis, The Beanie Bubble.
This is such a good bit.
I mean, if you've seen it, you know. Paul Giamatti, The Holdovers. Cillian Murphy for Op. And Jeffrey Wright, American Fiction. Should have got nominated for Asteroid City as well. Big snub, Asteroid City in 2023.
It was.
I'm going to go Cillian for the win. Would love to see Paul win.
Mm.
What about you, Brian?
I think I'm going to flip that. I think Giamatti wins. And I think, man, he's great. Don't get me wrong. It was a great performance. I will be rooting for Cillian. I feel like this is a great actor that has been, not that he's been slighted by the Academy or anything like that, but it feels like he deserves this here. I am bummed that I knew it wasn't going to happen. We talked about it on the episode a couple weeks ago, but I'm bummed that Zac Efron's not here because I just think that, again, is the kind of performance that I don't know how many more times in his career we're going to see
a
performance Bradley Cooper that's out that a few more good. Swings. Yeah, and I, again, I'm with you guys, like, the directing Bradley Cooper's direction on Maestro is so much better than his acting, unfortunately. So I would have liked to have seen him not get nominated as sort of a rebuke to this whole bit that we're doing at this point.
You shouldn't have done this. Anyway. Yeah. This just like reinforces any other actor that's going to have this itch to get $200 million and go ham with Netflix. We shall see.
I think Cillian will win. And did you guys know Bradley Cooper was in I didn't know he was in my show. I was just kind of blowing my mind. But I actually wish Jeffrey Wright would win.
Nice.
So teasing my favorites of the year. So
he doesn't miss. Man. Jeffrey Wright does not miss. He elevates almost everything he's in.
It's great. Yeah.
All right. Best picture of the year. Starting in alphabetical order. American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, Beanie Bubble, Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
And then Beanie Bubble again. You got two noms.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the German piece.
Yeah, the German dubbed. Mm-hmm. Das Beanie
I love the
bubble.
Idea that somewhere.
I would watch that. Das Beauty Bubble.
It won the Palme d'Or. I mean, come on. They're just blown away by Galifianakis. Like, this guy, who is he?
37-minute standing ovation? What?
Das Beauty Bubble. That's one of your best ones. Good job.
All right, man. Yeah. It feels like a lot of movies nominated again.
Do you know our ex-classmate James Wilson is nominated for Zone of Interest?
Is he?
I don't know. That's the name of the producer.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Could be. Man, who do I think's going to win? Oppenheimer. Who do I want to win? What's the most chaotic win that could happen? Maestro. So give me that. Richard.
Yeah. Let's wheel Warren Beatty out. Let's go full NIAID. Let's wheel him out. And yeah, we'll give it to NIAID. They're not even nominated. Wives in it. I'm going Oppenheimer and Oppenheimer for me. Of these, I mean, there are actually, not to spoil one, the two movies that I might have liked a tad bit more than Oppenheimer. But in terms of a best picture, what that means to the history of cinema, right? I think Oppenheimer's the choice here, which is a very nuanced thing. I'll explain later when we give our best of the year.
Yeah, Oppenheimer for me. I think that's a masterpiece, and I feels like it's going to be kind of a boring ceremony. I mean, could be a huge surprise, but feels like there's going to be a lot of Oppenheimer wins. And we'll find
out. It's up to you, Kimmel.
Yeah, we'll find out in July or August, whenever the ceremony actually happens. Yeah. So
it is July 4th weekend. It's going to be lit.
Oh, sweet, awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
Man, cannot wait. Before we hit weekly recommends and get out of here, we wanted to discuss the premiere, the new season of True Detective, fellas. It's back. Fourth season has come, starring Jodie Foster. It's called Night Country this time around. The first season with a subtitle kind of thing going on. So were you looking forward to this, Brian? And general thoughts / review of the first two episodes.
I was looking forward to this. True Detective season one is, truly, I think that's one of the like all-time great seasons of television. And was such a cultural touchstone too at the time. You get these two great actors and then hitting right at the right time, right as the McConaissance is coming around and all that stuff. I wanted to go back and rewatch season one before this started, but I didn't get time to do it. Yeah, that was like a huge achievement, I felt like, in TV. Second season is just a complete disaster. I don't think I ever finished that season. I don't think
the completest.
Yeah, I know. For me to not complete a season of TV that I started is pretty rare. It was awful. The third season was just really boring. And just kind of felt like, okay, what are we doing here? The selling point for this was, number one, it seemed like what's his name, Pizzolatto. Maybe I'm saying that wrong, was like taking a backseat. Issa Lopez is the sort of, I don't know if she's co-showrunner or full showrunner in this, but I think that it was important to have another voice in the room. Number two is Jodie Foster. I freaking love Jodie Foster. And number three, this setting is really cool to me. I find this to be a really interesting and also terrifying kind of concept, like setting this in the dark of Alaska, the long winter and stuff is a really interesting spot to be. So yeah, I was pumped for this, and two episodes in, it's delivering. It's everything that I wanted it to be. There's a ton of references, some subtle and some maybe not so subtle, to The Thing, which I think is the best horror movie of all time. And I love that too. I think it's cool that they're kind of paying homage to that movie. But more than anything, again, I don't know how y'all feel about this, but the setting for this is so creepy and unsettling, but to me also like very, very interesting. So I'm really into this. I think it's been great. Two episodes through.
Yeah, same. Richard, any general thoughts here? Review of the first two episodes, and were you looking forward to this at all?
Pretty much so. One of the few shows that I look forward to anymore are these. To Brian's point, a lot of that is the legacy of the first season, which was so excellent. And despite season two and season three, which is a very good, you know, kind of anthology season of television, does not live up to season one, which was seemed like really kind of paradigm shifting and a really brilliant, you know, that's like a something that could have been a Best Picture nominee if they allowed 14-hour movies or whatever. So, but was excited for it. Love Jodie Foster, especially love Jodie Foster as we've talked about as a, you know, investigating things. And yeah, it's lived up totally. It's, I'm very interested. I'm totally, mystified in a good way as to where it's going and all that. So yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I agree. The setting is awesome. I mean, I love an Arctic kind of thriller, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And this is perfect. I think Jodie Foster fits right in here. I mean, the only difference between this and Fargo is the accents, I think, kind of. It really is kind of that tone and setting. Where is it going? I have no idea. I think it's wide open at this point. I mean, it could go paranormal, in my opinion. It could go, you know, super explainable without getting into spoilers. Like, you know, this is just a murder scenario type thing, or it could get real weird, or it could get not real weird. So I like the ambiguity of the first two episodes and the way they've set it up. I don't want to get into spoilers, and it's not a spoiler to say the ice rink stuff. Is never seen anything like that before. Wonder if that's based on any kind of fact or what would actually happen. But I mean, that's kind of crazy and weird. And I like this rival cop scenario that they've got going on with Jodie and her coworker, that they seem to have fallen apart over a case that didn't work out. And now they're trying to mend things so that they could solve this other case that might be related to the case that they didn't solve. And so a lot of good storylines going on here, but man, Jodie, apparently this is the first TV stuff she's done since she first started acting. So it's hard to believe that.
Wow. Yeah.
She's never really done any kind of TV stuff. It's just crazy. And, you know, just wrap up the Emmy right now. She's going to win that. And I think this looks incredible.
Yes.
I don't know what's going on. I think the
setting is so cool, and they are highlighting the setting beautifully, I feel like.
The cinematography is great, but the color correction on this.
Absolutely.
Whatever they're doing there is some of the best I've seen. Like the clothes pop, like the settings, you're right. The actual houses, like interiors of the houses. It's great. I mean, it looks crystal clear. I mean, I don't know what they're doing there, but hats off to whoever shot this.
Yeah, it's like the exact opposite of the last season of Game of Thrones, where you just like couldn't see anything that was happening on screen ever. That was something that stuck out to me right off the bat. We're like, because I had some concern of that. Of like, all right, we're gonna be in the dark. Is it gonna be that way where I can't see anything or? No, it's lit beautifully. It looks awesome. All the interiors are like the compound that they're investigating in is a really cool space and kind of eerie and well done. Man, it's really dig it. I like how they're just kind of playing with the concepts of some paranormal activities without it being like a full on like sci-fi fantasy like, kind
this
of
this could
thing.
Be the
like,
thing or it could be
yeah well just it's true detective in, there's again. I think there's a I think it's episode two where one of the just kind of side characters tells the other cop like, hey, you've been here your whole life, you know that there's stuff out there, you know that you see people out there, And it just kind of gives like a little bit of life of like, is this folklore or is it real? It doesn't really matter because the people believe that it's real, you know, and it's not a, we're not playing on that heavily. It's just kind of, it gives it some space of like different places to go. It reminds me a little bit of Fargo season two in that way as well. Yeah, I think that's a smart way to approach that stuff.
Yeah, I like the ambiguous timeline. I imagine it'll connect heavily to the other seasons of True Detective in significant ways along the way.
Yeah, there's like some conspiracy or fan theory that the dead guy that led her out into the ice is Russ Cole's dad, which I generally think all that kind of stuff is stupid because we TV viewer or movie fans or whatnot, like that's just like a thing. We have to connect the dots on everything. I don't necessarily think that that's a deal, but it was a fun, it's like, oh, okay, that's kind of interesting.
As long as Alexander Daddario shows up at some point, we're good. Yeah, I agree, man. The first season was great. My wife and I were watching this new season and she was talking about that first season too and just how great it was. And we were talking about going back and watching it because of how memorable that experience was. Can you believe that this has four seasons and Fargo has five? And it feels like they never make this show and it feels like Fargo's just kept going. Isn't that weird?
It is interesting.
They're almost the same. Would have thought they would have way more Fargo at this point. Because this show feels like it's on a constant hiatus or they're always figuring out what they want to do with it. But here we are with season four. Yeah, it looks like it's going to be eight episodes. So we've got six left. It could go any direction. I wouldn't be surprised, Brian, if it does go paranormal and it goes kind of a X-Files direction.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be.
And it's got a tone of, with Jodie especially, of Silence of the Lambs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love that. Gosh, I love Jodie Foster. She's great in this so far.
Speaking of people who can't miss, Jodie Foster. Rarely with a miss. Naiad, you know, the exception. We'll let that one slide.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
All right, before we get out of here, fellas, let's hit a quick weekly recommend.
Weekly recommends.
All right, what you got for us this week, Richard?
Yeah, I've got a new Smile album.
Nice.
As you listen to this, yeah. So that's an easy one for me. One of Kent and I's favorite band that we saw live together. So I will go, I will make that an easy weekly recommend and while it's timely, and I will do the new Smile album, which is Wall of Eyes.
Yeah, for sure. You know, big Radiohead vibes there. So if you like that, you'll like the Smile for sure. I'm going to recommend a movie that I think you guys have probably seen. Not sure if the listener has, because it's a pretty old one. It's directed by American treasure Danny DeVito. And it's got Billy Crystal. And it's a late 80s comedic kind of thriller. It's called Throw Mama from the Train. Have you guys seen this one?
I have. A long time ago.
It's
been a really long time. Yeah.
It's got a little Hitchcock influence to it. So I don't know if you've seen Strangers on a Train before, but that movie is a big influence on this movie where, the big plot of Strangers on a Train is these people meet on a train. They both want somebody dead and they decide, let's switch murders. I'll kill the person you want dead. You kill the person I want dead. And there will be no way to trace it. So they figure that out in the movie based on the Hitchcock movie. And they play that scenario out with the mother in this. And it's got a comedic, you know, kind of crime thriller tone, but Danny DeVito directs it. Really fun. Late 80s kind of comedy. Rob Reiner pops up. Yeah. So check that out for some prime DeVito crystal action. What you got for us this week, Richard?
Richard was smile.
I mean, Brian.
No worries. Mine, I've been binging a ton of movies the last couple weeks, trying to finish up everything that we can before our end of year episode next week. I saw some good ones. Saw a few movies that are going to maybe even creep into the top 10 or very close. I'm going to give you, I'm looking through my list here. Let's go with this one. Let's go The Kane Mutiny Court Martial, which I believe you'll have to figure out how to get Showtime, or to get Showtime through Amazon Prime or something else. This is the most like, that and Stars. I don't know how anybody ever finds it. It took me an hour to figure out how to see this movie, but it was really good. It's
like Showtime on the Plus, right?
Yeah.
On the Paramount.
Yeah, but you have to up to that up tier version of the Paramount Plus. So, you can do that. You can try that.
That's William Friedkin's Peacock, right?
I don't think so. Okay. Okay. Yeah. It's William Friedkin's last movie, before he died earlier this, or I guess last year. It's Kiefer Sutherland. Jason Clarke might have been like deserving of Oscar nomination. Personally, I think it was really, really good. It all takes place in one room. It's like a bottle episode or like a one scene play basically. Mm-hmm. And it's all just it's a court martial trial. I love a courtroom drama, love a trial. As long as it's not Anatomy of a Fall. And just really simple. There's, you know, six actors in the movie basically, and it moves really well. It's got a great monologue a couple times here and there. I really dug it. It's not gonna make my top 10, but it's sort of the just probably the tier below what that's gonna look like at the end of the year. But I really enjoyed it, and if you like courtroom dramas, then this is an easy sell for you, I would think.
Heck yeah, who doesn't? I feel like there should be a resurgence of those John Grisham style stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
I pitched Richard on that a few months ago of why would we not, if you're John Grisham, why would you not create like an amalgam character through 10 or 20 of your books? Cause he has 700 books, and pitch that as a Netflix series. Like just have him go through instead of making a movie for the firm, a movie for, I don't know, the partner or whatever else. You just like do that as a Netflix series. Just have a character that goes through all of these. I feel like that's an easy win. I'm going to send him a letter, try to pitch that to him. So
yeah, for sure. For sure.
Be on the lookout. Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. There's some Oscar talk for you before we wrap up the year. Wanted to get that to you first. So stay tuned for our end of the year list episode, my most anticipated episode of the year. I don't know about you, Phil. It's the one I most look forward to. So we'll get that out of the way here really soon. So make sure you subscribe to the show. Leave us a nice review. The old five-star thing on Spotify if you enjoy the show. Tell a friend. And if you want more from us, we do another episode every single week on our VIP feed. We're about to record it right now, in which we are discussing Reservoir Dogs as the first movie of our Tarantino retrospective, which we're doing all year in the VIP, talking all Tarantino movies. So you got time to get in now. Movie number one, Reservoir Dogs, madaboutmoviespodcast.com/VIP. Please subscribe, and that makes sure we continue to do podcasts. All right, we'll see you over there in the VIP, Bar, Club, Lounge, Grill, and Cinema. Goodbye.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face.
They're making me yah-yah.